This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda. We recently brought you a story about a new collaboration between Bike Rack Brewing Company and Haxton Road Studios. The project involves recording a song from 10 artists and releasing the compilation album this fall. One of the participating acts is The Silver Lining. Chase and Drew McLaughlin stopped by the Firm and Garner Performance Studio last month to speak with me about their music. The husband and wife duo are both from Springdale and went to high school together. Chase says they weren't friends at the time, but she remembers sitting next to her future husband in a computer class.
I thought he was, like, real cute.
And vice versa.
And it was around the time, I'll tell my side, it was around the time that Taylor Swift's song, Teardrops
on my guitar. Yeah.
And it was Drew Looks at Me. And I have this thing where if I'm, like, in the zone or, like, it's really quiet, I sing. Like, I don't realize it, I'll start humming or whatever. And so we'd be in this class, and I would, like, subconsciously be thinking of that song. And I would catch myself, like, starting to hum it. And it was, like, so terrifyingly embarrassing. Like, what if I start singing Drew Looks at Me?
I never caught it. I never heard it. But I was, like, so, like, you know, hypersensitive anyway. I don't think I could have picked up on something that subtle.
That, like, minute.
Yeah. And just... It was high school anyway, but we didn't actually talk until like 2 years or a year after you graduated. Mm-hmm. And it had been 2 years for me. And I had been playing like punk rock probably like through high school and like out of high school. And then I started really getting into like Americana and like folk and bluegrass. And I found out that she was a musician. And so I reached out to her and found out they were doing like a jam. Mm-hmm. Remember the Perk on Weddington?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So they used to do like a Monday night jam there. And so I went there the first time and she wasn't there, but her whole family was there and they're all musicians. And so I met them and they like already knew my intentions, like of trying to like get to know her. So they like wrangled me in there. And I played guitar at the time only. And, they ended up like trying to like get me to sing. And so I couldn't sing at the time. And so I like practiced for the next like week. I just mm-hmm. practiced one song so I could like try to sing that. And then it kind of just spiraled from there. We started dating. We were like kind of hung out for like a year. Uh-huh. And then we started dating and started playing music together. We watched the movie Once uh-huh. with Glenn Hansard. And I was like blown away by that and like booked a coffee shop gig in Bentonville. Kennedy
Coffee.
Kennedy
yeah.
Coffee.
And
this is in like 2010. Yeah.
We learned like Falling Slowly. Sure. And then like, of course.
Your standard.
Standard Glenn
coffee
Hansard,
shop.
Coffee Folks, shop.
Coffee
yeah.
shop. And, indie yeah. playlist Spotify.
Yeah, exactly. And then we just kind of fell in love with like playing music together and like, you know, her singing like harmony with me and like teaching me harmony. And we played just coffee shops and stuff here, little things here and there. Didn't expect anything to kind of come from it. Mm-hmm. Then we started writing more. And I think, like, Benton is weird because we wanted to always be in Fayetteville and play in Fayetteville, but we had more of a connection in Bentonville and Rogers. We played a lot in Eureka, too.
Yeah, so most of our, we're only just now kind of coming to Fayetteville musically. We've been here for forever, but
yeah, we're slowly trying to be more professional about it.
Around,
and
so.
Strategic, I think, with our connections and like where we play instead of just like oversaturating.
Sure.
You know, we were talking about like, you know, because we're so bad at social media, but we want to like post and let, you know, our friends and family and, you know, other fellow musicians know where we're playing mm-hmm. instead of just like, okay, we're playing at Mama Carmen's again from 8 to 4, like some like random, like horrible time, like Monday or something.
Yeah, it's like something really.
Yeah, so we try to make it interesting. So you're not just scrolling past and seeing the same old like post of something. I don't know.
Well, I did scroll through your Facebook and I know for a little bit you guys were in LA. What took you out there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there was a 9-month program I did. It was a music school out there. And it was really cool because it like concentrated classes like home audio recording, like Nashville number system and like stuff. Because I never went to like a music school mm-hmm. or learned music, like theory and stuff. But they taught like, they call it street theory. So like kind of like your fundamental like foundation of, you know, notes, Nashville number systems and rhythm and just how to communicate with other like musicians. And it was like a huge game changer for us.
It was a big change. We kind of like we'd been playing music, obviously, here and in Bentonville for several years, and kind of got to a place that we were like, okay, if we're going to do anything, we didn't get like secondary education or anything like that. And we were just like, okay, if we're going to do this, we need to right now be developing this skill. And, you know, he's so skilled with guitar, but not like educated with, you know, actual
it's like
education.
Book smart versus like street smart.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
He was street
that.
Smart.
Yeah.
Street cred. So we just got back from, we spent a year out there, just got back last May.
Yeah.
So it was a fast-paced
kind of
year trying to make money and.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
But we really played, I think, a lot more music out there. There was so, it seems like it would be so oversaturated with musicians trying to make it, but it really was not. Like I felt like our experience was that there's a lot of cover bands, and which are fine and good.
Yeah, no, we're not like trash talking cover bands, but a lot of like just people wanted to make sure that when they had a musician on, they wanted to know what they were playing, and like there was no like freedom in that like kind of creativity. It was hard to find a lot of musicians that were playing their stuff.
Original stuff. So there was
Jason
a lot
Mraz.
Of yeah, a lot of Jason Mraz covers. But yeah, so there was a big market for it. So we ended up playing a lot more music out there, and so now we're back, and it took us a few months to get back out.
Sure.
Start doing stuff again.
Well, could we hear one of your originals?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think a good way to do that is play the first song I ever wrote.
Yeah.
And it's called Towards the Sun.
It's
Thank you. What inspired that song?
That one I wrote, it was kind of like a personal journey. Like, I had a change in my life and kind of found, like, the spiritual path that I felt like it was up to me to, you know, grow in that and not up to, like, my surroundings to, like, teach me about it and, like, or inspire, like, be inspired by those people. I kind of had to, like, you know, I had to, like, pick myself up and actually go out and do that. And during that time, I was actually talking to Chase. And so it was kind of like that kind of intermingles. And, like, the further I went in that path and was pursuing that, I just felt like so much more weight was taken off. Yeah.
And I suppose we should mention in the title, Sun is spelled S-O-N.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
So, yeah, Towards the Sun is kind of about finding, you know, everybody has to find that spiritual path on their own. You can't ride on somebody else's spiritual journey to Jesus. It has to be personal. Yeah. So it's kind of about, like, finding that for yourself. And so he talks about, you know, I have to go and do this on my own and get closer to the sun. But then the next verse is, I must ask you for your hand now. Let's head towards the sun. And so it kind of, I just have to mention that I'm in the song. So that's my hand. it's kind of an explanation of not only his spiritual journey, but our spiritual journey together in that way. So,
yeah.
And it's one of seven songs on your self-titled EP.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we did that a while back, and our next goal is to do a full album for sure. I just think we're trying to get, you know, everything lined up for that. I think the inspiration that recently just happened was with Bike Rack, actually.
Right, you're working with Bike Rack Records.
Yeah, which is an awesome thing they're doing, sponsoring, like, local artists, like some of our favorites. Candy Lee is just, I'm sure you've met her before.
Uh-huh. She's been in the studio.
Yeah, I mean, her name describes her personality so much. Yeah. But, and so we got to go record at Haxton. And that was
in Bentonville, Haxton Road Studios.
So awesome.
It's beautiful.
Neil is so awesome.
Yes. Yeah. All the guys there were so.
Ryan, Jacob.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone there was, like, so nice, and they made us feel comfortable. And I felt like I was going to go into it and just feel so out of place. Like, but they made it comfortable, even though it was, like, I felt like I was in New York.
It's so fancy.
Yeah.
But it was really cool.
And you'll be playing with Candy Lee at George's?
Yes, yeah. So it was funny. That came about, there was a, like, Ozark Regional Songwriters event that was happening in Bentonville.
I'll Fly Away Foundation
okay. was doing that. Mm-hmm. And so I signed up for that, and I ended up actually talking to her. We've bumped into her in town and stuff, but we both played one of the sets there. I think it was the finale. Mm-hmm. And so we both, like, really liked, you know, wanted to get something together and trying to play a show. So that was kind of the thing that spawned that. And, like, 2 weeks later, she's like, this is happening. We have to play. So I was like, awesome. Like, it's been a dream of ours to play with Candy, because she's got that just, you can't pin, you know, what she is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It might be jazz. It might be blues. It might be folk, a little hippie, you know, funk or something. Mm-hmm. So.
I have to ask, with a name like The Silver Lining, do you guys consider yourselves, like, glass half full kind of people, or?
You know, I wish there was more of a story behind the name. But I think so.
Yeah.
You think so? Or?
I would say so. I don't feel as optimistic
as the...
Yeah.
Yeah, Drew is.
I'm an optimist,
so
for
he's
sure.
the silver lining.
Yes, yeah. Drew's the silver lining. No. I'm the cloud.
She actually came up with the name.
I came up with the name, but...
Yeah, I mean, like, that's kind of what we were hoping to do, is, like, give, like, some, like, seed of hope to someone, like, whether that's through, like, an actual melody, like, oh, something different, you know, or lyrically,
connecting to people.
And then, you know, reaching out with, you know, our path and everything, and just saying, like, this is an option too, and just providing that. That's kind of where the thing is, you know, letting people know there's hope, you know.
Well, if people want to hear more of your music, you'll be with Candy Lee on September 2nd at Georgia's.
Yes.
And then the Bike Rack Records record will be released later, I think, in November.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's a show some...
I think the 9th.
November 9th at the record.
Yeah.
In Bentonville.
The record.
I'm so excited. Yeah.
Well, before we let you go, could we hear one more song?
Yeah, absolutely. This one is based off of Little House on the Prairie. It's like the big winter that's coming in.
The long winter.
The long winter.
Okay.
Sorry. And it's just kind of like being in tune with nature and seeing the way the animals are like building up, like the beaver is building up the dam and they're having to read that.
So Paw Ingles is out, like, it's in the middle of the summer. It's like the hottest summer they can ever recall. And Paw Ingles is out like doing something with hay, you know, with the pokey stick thing. So he's doing that.
Technical term.
That's the technical term. And an Indian of some, I don't know what kind of Indian, comes up to him. And, you know, that's always, there's like tension there. But he comes over and tells Pa, I'm pretty sure this is how the story goes, to notice how the muskrats are building their nests. They build them out of mud. They're building their homes like way thicker than they normally do, but it's like the middle of summer, and the Indians like, this is going to be the hardest winter you can imagine, like the hardest winter we've ever had, because of the muskrats. So anyway, I think it's just the coolest story. And then it turns out, and nobody believes him because, you know, it's like the hottest summer,
right? Which is, I don't know, it kind of is telling to, like, especially our times now, we're so out of tune with nature
and this. Like, we would never notice. I mean, sure, somebody would notice it, but I would never notice if a muskrat was making his mud.
Yeah, and just crazy things that are happening right now across the world. So I think it's got, like, a double meaning.
Yeah.
And that was the intent. So.
And what's the name of it?
We call it Cabin.
There's a cabin in the meadow, and hay bales in a field. And the trees are all turning, and I can't help but feel that there's hell to come, and there's hell to pay. There is a war on its way. Chop the wood and feed the horses. Grab the nails and fill the holes. And this old house is barely standing. It won't last against the cold.
That was Chase and Drew McLaughlin, who together are The Silver Lining. They spoke with me inside the Carver Center for Public Radio last month. You can find out more about the musicians at facebook.com/thesilverlining.mcl.